This presentation has been previously broadcast.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. And thank you for praying for me. I've been asking you for the past couple days for an intention I had. I was asking God for something, and I prayed hard. You know, I went to Mass, I prayed my rosaries, I prayed my chaplets, I fasted, and, you know, I prayed, Lord, I want your will to be done. That was really my prayer. I said, this is what I want, it seems so perfect, but I want your will, not mine. So if this is not meant for me, then do me a favor, shut it down, because I know you'll have something even better in store for me. So I got a phone call over the weekend, and I was waiting for this good news, and the person said, I got some bad news for you. And, you know, instead of getting despondent, instead of getting bummed out, instead of being discouraged, instead of saying, oh my gosh, that's so horrible. Sometimes we get attached to things. You ever notice that? You know, we want what we want. We think what we want is best. We think that, you know, our way is the best way. But, you know, God answers every prayer. And we're going to pray in just a second here. And I want you to know he's going to answer your prayer in one of three ways. First way is a yes. You know, he's going to give you that miracle. He's going to allow that prayer that you're seeking to be answered very vividly and very clearly. The other answer is probably no, right? Or not now. That's the third one. And it, just endure, just be patient, wait a little bit longer. I don't know if there's ever a no. I mean, when I say he says no, sometimes he does say no to you. Maybe you're praying for the spouse or the promotion or to get out of that debt or to beat the cancer, right? I think God often answers our prayers. He might say no, not now, right? No, because he's got something better in store. And maybe you've prayed earnestly for something and God has said no to you. What do you do when he says no? A lot of people get pretty upset. They get mad. They get angry at God, right? They give up on prayer. You know, the Apostle Paul, I love him because he faced countless trials during his ministry. And, you know, there was a mystery about Paul. He had this abiding pain and it seemed to stand out. He had what he described as a mysterious thorn that tormented him. And it led him to plead with God to remove it. Now imagine that. He's in this agony, right? This pain, I would assume, this irritation, whatever it is, this mysterious thorn. He calls it a thorn. It could be anything, right? I mean, could literally be a thorn. It could be some sort of other cross he had. And you know, God told Paul, who had been flogged and shipwrecked and beaten and imprisoned, he already suffered a lot, right? He told Paul, no. That's what God said to him, no. And Paul said it kept him from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of that revelation. He says, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with our Lord that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I just want to tell you the same thing, because I had a no given to me. God's grace is sufficient. You know, a lot of ink has been spilled over the details of that passage. Some suggest that Paul, you know, his thorn maybe was a secret struggle with some sin he had. Some believe he had an eye condition that plagued him. Some believe he bore an invisible stigmata. He bore the wounds of Christ. You know, I don't know what the thorn was. Speculate as you will, but we'll never know. What we do know is that Paul accepted it. He carried his cross, and he wants to boast in his weakness, you know, because that's where God's strength comes from. We have to do the same thing. You know, I said to the Lord after I got my no from him over this weekend, I said, Lord, thank you. You know what your no is? His no is a yes to me. His no is not now, Drew, because I have something better for you. So even though what I wanted I thought was perfect, right? I thought it was just exactly, it couldn't be better, right? I said, Lord, I can't wait to see what you have in store, because I know that it's going to be even better than what I thought was so great. So I'm camping out on it. I'm waiting on the Lord's yes to me. I'm waiting for his time. I'm waiting for him to surprise me. And I put it in his court, because you know why? And I said this to the Lord. I said, you told Faustina that the more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. So I choose to trust, not to have anxiety, not to have concern, not to have fear, not to think that that perfect thing slipped away. I choose to trust, because the more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. So thank you for the no, Lord. When I got that news, I said, thank you. I rejoice in my no, because I know there's a great yes waiting in my future. I know there's a great yes waiting in your future, too. Let's pray for it, okay? Praying with me today, Patrick Alog. He is a producer who spans the gamut here at Relevant Radio. Patrick, good to have you with us. I know you work from midday all the way through Father Rocky's Rosary, so it's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for as we start?
Basically, I want to pray for all our troops in Afghanistan, also for all the U.S. citizens and for our allies in Afghanistan as well.
All right, we'll pray right now. Let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And again, I want to pray for this contributor to my radio program. If you're just joining me, he called me, sent me a text last night that I missed until early in the morning. Thought he's had COVID for the second time and had to go to the ER. Was going to go to the ER. But prayer, I know God's outside of time too. I mean, I spoke to him this morning, 180-degree turn, but I did tell him I would present his intentions to you. And let's pray for each other. Let's pray for an end to COVID. All right, let's ask that God mitigate and diminish and eradicate this wretched plague. Tilly's listening to us in Salt Lake City, Utah. Tilly, good afternoon.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Hi, Drew. Thank you, and God bless you. I keep in mind that I keep you in my prayers as well. But
thank you so much.
Well, for Ariel, for tuberous sclerosis, the kidneys, tumors, and lung cysts, we need a miracle. Those clear up. And then for my son, Bernie, he's trying to get off of Suboxone. But good news, he's 2 years sober from
God.
The other. Praise the Lord. This prayer is working. And also for my husband, loss of memory, a friend who just had a heart pacer put in, Ray, and Kay is very worried, his wife, and Ursula for a brain tumor as well. She's suffering some tumor. And that's Ariel's godmother. And we really would like some blessings in, of course, healing. And
wow.
I thank you so much for your ministry, and we love your book, by the way.
Thanks, Tilly. Well, first of all, I am so grateful for your prayers. Thank you for them. I need them. I value them. And I'm glad the book's been a blessing to you, but you are suffering a lot. And I know that God hears your prayers, so you hang in there. We're going to pray for you and your family, and especially for your son. I mean, I've always prayed that addiction would not affect my family. I know what addiction does, and as a mother, my heart goes out to you to have a son who is battling that. But 2 years sober is great news. So we'll pray for continued sobriety for anyone right now that's struggling with addiction. I pray for anyone who is battling that demonic spirit. I really believe so much of it is rooted in evil, Lord. And I just pray for liberty and freedom for those whose families are being destroyed and lives are being destroyed through addiction. I want to pray for Tilly's daughter and all the intentions she voiced. I just bring everyone to you, Father. I ask for your mercy. You know our needs. So with trust, we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Glendale, California. Gloria is praying with us there. Hi, Gloria. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Can you please have everyone pray for my nephew's wife? He had to rush her to the hospital because she's got horrible stomach pains and they don't know what it is. And one more thing too is that he's got to look for another job now because of the virus, and he does not want to take the inoculation, and so there's a big problem there. And they've got four little ones under the age of 9. So any prayers that people can offer, and also I'll be offering my rosary for you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you, Gloria. We'll certainly pray for your nephew's wife and for all these intentions. Lord, I want to pray for Gloria, too, for all of her personal needs and intentions, and just ask for your mercy on all of these intentions. And for those who are in the hospital right now, Lord, facing surgery or undiagnosed problems, that we find success and we find healing. Lord, I lift up in particular everything Gloria has just put. Again, I unite everyone who's praying with us here. I pray for those suffering from natural calamities, from disaster, from conflict, both, Lord, at large, but also at home. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
All right, our third decade comes. Before I go to the third decade, let me sneak Maggie in. Maggie, you, of course, you are monitoring our Twitter page. I want to thank everyone who emails us, drew@relevantradio.com. I was reading through our mercy intentions there. Know that we don't always write back because we get so many emails, but we do pray for every one of those intentions that come in. I know a lot of people are also posting on Twitter. And we ask you to follow us at Drew Mariani Show. You'll find us there. And Maggie, what's coming in?
Gosh, we've got a lot of requests today, and I just want to say for anyone that I haven't gotten to today, we will mention you tomorrow in the chaplet. Elizabeth is asking for prayers for a young mother of 4 who's in the hospital with COVID and now has a blood clot. Her prognosis is not looking good. Praying for God's healing. Mac would like to pray for Sam from Athens, Georgia, who called into the Patrick Madrid show this morning. I heard that on my drive-in.
That's great.
Marilyn is asking that we pray for all the people in Afghanistan, Haiti, Louisiana, Mexico, for prisoners and homeless. And she's also asking for rain in California.
Amen to that.
Krista is asking for prayers for her 91-year-old father with gastric bleed requiring transfusions. And he's got a problem with alcohol. Mary is asking for prayers for all refugees. May God give them all the strength that they need. Jose is asking for prayers for his wife's health and for his own personal intentions. Wow. Kyoto's asking for prayers for his marriage. He says, may God grant me and my wife the wisdom to raise our children in the light of Christ.
Amen. Beautiful.
And he asks for the same for all parents out there. And then last one, Yaya's praying for their daughter who is 6 months pregnant in an Okinawa naval hospital.
Oh, wow.
And she's got COVID. She is intubated and very sick. Baby is stable, but please pray for complete healing for both of them. Her husband and two sons have COVID, and they've recovered recently.
Yeah, we'll pray against these Delta variants and all these other variants that are now manifesting, and for all those intentions. And many more have come in the email as well. And if you're on hold, I'll do my best to try to get you on. Anne Marie is praying with us in Illinois. Anne Marie, welcome.
Yes, thank you very much, Drew. I want to pray for my friend, son Zachariah, who has been in the hospital for 2 months. He has extremely bad gastric issues and had emergency surgery to remove his large bowel, but he's doing very poorly now. And for my brothers who are far from the faith, one of them is in federal prison.
Well, we'll pray for him right now, your brother. And I have a real soft spot in my heart for the incarcerated. Of course, I want to pray for the victims of any crime. I never want to forget them. Sometimes people get angry with me because I pray for those who are imprisoned and not for the victims. And certainly my heart goes out. I want justice. But I also pray for a lot of people who are suffering there and for their families. I think family members suffer in their own way when they have loved ones incarcerated. And we're the most incarcerated nation in the world. In the world, the United States of America, land of the free, the most incarcerated. So, Lord, I do pray for everything Anne Marie has just voiced, for the 26-year-old who's critically ill in the hospital, for those who are homebound, those who are incarcerated. Lord, I give you all of these intentions and everything that Maggie has voiced. And I just take all of your children, and we stand before the foot of the cross. And I just thank you, Father, for your mercy. And I trust in it, and I ask that you put into motion now the answers to so many of these prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
All right, Kathy's praying with us in Illinois as well. Kathy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I would first like to say that I pray every day for everyone who calls Relevant Radio.
That's awesome.
And the chaplet and the rosary and my own personal prayer. Today, I would like to ask for prayers for Jelani Day. He is an Illinois State University grad student who went missing last week.
Wow.
For Donnie, who is stationed in Afghanistan, for his safety and for his success in helping people leave. For my friend Carol Madigan, who is direly, mortally ill with cancer, for a miracle. And for my son Peter, who will be taking his final nursing exam tomorrow, that he will pass his test.
Well, we'll pray for that right now, Kathy. I love that intention. And Lord, I just ask that her son have instant recall and that he pass that test with flying colors and that you convict his heart with mercy and compassion, that he may be able to serve and really bring you to others through that beautiful vocation. And Lord, I do pray for this Illinois State University student that is missing. You know, this is a prayer that always, for some reason, God seems to answer. And not every situation, but I'm telling you, like 9 out of 10 times, I've had calls that have come in here. And the answers have been unbelievable. You might remember a couple days ago, it was last Thursday, I think, that a call came in and says, could you offer a prayer for the intention of Braden Bellamy? She's missing, suffers from borderline personality disorder. She was last seen in L.A. in the Hollywood area. She went missing. People were terrified. Last night, I was checking the show emails. I got this email. Big thank you, Jesus. Mr. Mariani, I want to thank you and let you know that Braden was found. Once again, another answered prayer, the person said. So, Lord, I just pray for those who are lost physically, but I want to pray for those souls that we love that are lost and have lost their way from you. I pray for conversion as well as those who are in really desperate need of safety. I lift them up in all of these beautiful intentions that were just voiced as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Mary. She's praying in Austin, Texas. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Mary.
I've called before. I lost a lot in the last 14 months, including my husband and a nephew and a couple of miscarriages. My husband committed suicide about 6 months ago.
Oh, no.
I've been praying for God to bring something good back into my life that isn't going to get ripped away, and I just feel like I'm losing my faith.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mary. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Look, we're going to pray for you right now, but let me ask you personally, have you talked to anybody? Have you gotten any counseling? Have you spoken to anybody for grief or to a priest or to a psychologist or psychiatrist? You had a chance to talk about what you're going through?
Yeah. I have. I've been getting therapy for PTSD.
Well, look, you're in a difficult place. I can't imagine. Cannot imagine what you've gone through, especially losing a husband by suicide. I want you to know this, that we're here for you, okay? Whenever you need us, you call us. All right, we are here for you. And today, you have souls from Maui to Maine praying for you. All right, so you're not alone. We're on your side. We're interceding for your needs. Look, God knows your heart. He knows what you're going through. You know, in the diary of St. Faustina, she wrote that there are moments, there are mysteries of divine mercy over which the heavens are just astounded. And in these times where you have these great sufferings, you need to just know that God knows your situation, that he loves you infinitely. He loves your husband infinitely. He hears your prayers. He's moved. His heart is moved by your tears. And he wants you to lean on him, okay? He wants you to trust in him. So don't fear, okay? God's with you here. We're going to get through this. It's going to take you a little bit of time, but you're going to get through it, okay? One day at a time. But let's pray for you now, all right? And know that your family here is going to be praying for you, not just now. But I know people are remembering you in the rosaries and in their adoration and in their masses. Just one day at a time, okay? All right, Mary, I'm so sorry. I am just so sorry for you. Let's pray. Mary's speechless. She can't even speak. The anguish of losing her husband and for what she's gone through, so much tragedy has come into her life, and it is a mystery. It really is. It is a mystery. We will never understand this until we stand before God and we can see with the perfect vision of the afterlife. But as I said, the Lord said, let a soul not despair, but throw itself into the arms of my mercy, as a child does into the arms of a beloved mother. He says, tell no soul that is called upon my mercy has ever been disappointed, for I delight in souls that place their trust in my goodness. But I pray for this mother, this wife, and I pray for everyone who's united to me now. I thank you for the gift of the chaplet. Thank you for your mercy. And I just ask for healing for all those seeking it. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying. And please pray for Mary. Pray for everyone in our spiritual family. Let's pray for each other. That's the beauty of this. I had asked everyone to become a Divine Mercy intercessor. You could do that by going to relevantradio.com and go to the Faith tab. And what that is the fact that we pray every day at 3 o'clock here. But all I've asked you to do is to say some sort of other prayer throughout the day. At some other time, maybe you pray a rosary, you go to adoration, or maybe it's a simple walk and you're talking to the Lord. Just to remember our spiritual family here. As those prayers build and as they mount, God's heart is certainly moved. And that's why we see so many miracles occur here every afternoon. That's why God's grace is so palpable here. I can feel it. So if you want to, relevantradio.com, and just go to the tab, Faith tab, and be a Divine Mercy Intercessor. Masses are offered for you 4 times a year for any Divine Mercy Intercessor. So here at the Nativity of the Chapel, the Nativity here at Relevant, we have Mass offered every quarter for you. I send out a newsletter every once in a while to you. And, it's a good thing to do. You become part of a great prayer team. Really, that's really what it is. Hey, when we come back, you might have heard there was something going around about St. Michael's prayer, the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, canceled in the Archdiocese of Chicago. I have an update on that, and I want to tell you a little bit about St. Michael and the origins of what is an extraordinary prayer, one needed more than ever today, as I think evil is rising like never before.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for praying with me. Thanks for praying for me, too. I've been asking for your prayers for a little bit, and as I was sharing with you, the answer that came in was no, but that's okay. I know God's got a better yes. Continue to pray for me. I need your prayers. Of course, my family does, and I'm praying for you, your family, and I'm so grateful. Pray for Mary, the last caller who just called in. Man, what a heartbreak that is. It's easy to lose hope when you're in the middle of a storm. It's hard, but we'll pray for each other. We'll pray for each other. That's what we're here for. It's the beauty of this. Of course, you can pray the rosary a little bit later today, and Father Rocky, another powerful and beautiful prayer to pray. You might have heard that Cardinal Supich of Chicago, he came out and he forbid priests in Libertyville, Illinois, from praying the St. Michael prayer and a Hail Mary after Mass. And my first reaction is, that can't be true. I mean, that was my first reaction. I'll be, oh, yeah, it's true. It's crazy. You believe this? Like, why would you ban the Hail Mary and the St. Michael prayer, right? That sounds outrageous. So, Father Emmanuel Torres Fuentes, he said that during a live-streamed Mass at Cardinal Supich, didn't want that done anymore. But the pastor of the parish, a priest by the name of Father John Trout, later said that it wasn't true. They took the video down. But not before all kinds of people commented on what the Cardinal allegedly had done, because the video went wild. And it really did go viral. Coming up in a moment, Monsignor Charles Pope will be joining me, and he addressed this very question as to about, you know, why we should or should not pray the chaplet of the St. Michael prayer after Mass. He wrote an article, and we'll link over to it as well for you. He said, fact check, did Cardinal Supich stop recitation of public prayers after Mass at an Illinois parish? And he'll be stopping by in a in a moment or two, we'll tap into his expertise. But let me share something about this prayer. It's a prayer that my father would pray with my sisters and I every day before school. You know, my father would always get up, he'd make us breakfast, and then we got ready for school. And before we walked out the door as a family, we would always pray the St. Michael prayer for protection over all of us. And I learned it as a little boy. Of course, later in life, I was with one of these great mystics during an apparition where the Blessed Mother appeared. And one of the things I was told in one of these apparitions was to invoke the protection of St. Michael on a daily basis, which I do every day now. I always invoke his protection. I've been working on, you know, making sure my angel is involved in that as well. But you may not be familiar with the story. You know, St. Michael, you read in Revelations, I think it's 12:7, that there was this great battle in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the great dragon, who's called the devil, and Satan was, you know, who seduced the world, was cast onto the earth, and his angels were thrown down, right? And, of course, this great battle we've spoken about in the past. St. Michael has been a special protector of the church. He's played a huge role in exorcisms. Many exorcists call upon him during that. And Pope Leo XIII had an encounter one day, and I've shared the story in my book on Divine Mercy. I wrote about this. It was a bizarre encounter, but this is the origin of where this prayer ultimately came from. It was on October 13th. It's an interesting date, isn't it? 1884, approximately 33 years from the great miracle of Fatima. Anybody ever do that math, huh? That interesting? 33 years to the date. He had celebrated Mass in the Vatican Chapel, and it was attended just by a few cardinals and a couple members of the Vatican staff. And as he was leaving the church, he suddenly stopped at the foot of the altar. And eyewitnesses didn't know what he was doing. He stood there, they say, for about 10 minutes. It looked like he was in another world, like he was in a trance. They say all the color left his face. He went ashen, went white. Some, and these are reports, again, this happened in 1884, some say he collapsed on the floor. Whatever the case, right? When the experience ended, he left the chapel, he went to his office, and he composed a prayer so powerful, as I said, exorcists use it. It's said after every low mass everywhere. It was known as the prayer to St. Michael. So people asked him, what happened? And he explained to them, he says, when I was about to leave the foot of the altar, I heard voices. I heard two voices. One was very kind. It was gentle. And the other, it was very guttural. It was ugly. It was harsh. And they seemed to be coming from near the tabernacle. So I listened. And then I heard the following conversation. He says, I heard this guttural voice. It was horrible. It was the voice of Satan, and it was filled with pride, puffed with pride. And he was boasting to the Lord, I can destroy your church. And the gentle voice of the Lord said, if you think you can, go ahead and do so. But Satan growled back. He said, to do so, I need more time and power. How much time? How much power? I need 75 to 100 years and greater power over those who will give themselves over to my service. Our Lord simply said, you have the time and you will have the power. Do with them what you will. Now, many people say, well, that's 1884. That's a long time ago. It looks like we're living in the time of Satan. Well, Leo XIII died in 1904, 1905. So it's fair to say that there's no question that there's something very different about the years that followed, right? Something especially diabolic about a time, our own time especially, where we have, what, 60 million plus children who have been murdered each year through surgical abortion. You take a look at the elderly, the cognitively disabled being put to death like Terry Schiavo and others, time when marriage is under attack and redefined. We're artists with our taxpayer dollars. You know, you see these museums that cover Our Lady in elephant dung, or they stick a crucifix in a jar of urine and they call it art. You see the wars and the rumors of war. You see all the attack on our children, the indoctrination of them. You see evil rising. And I could go through the litany. You know it as well as I do. But every epoch has had its evil, right? There's no century that's been immune from it. But this particular decade, this particular century, this particular time, I think, I don't know, seems especially touched by the demonic. Now, does it compare with a century that had Hitler and Lenin and Stalin and Mao? That was the century that Leo XIII foresaw. I am convinced of it. I don't think there was a darker chapter in human history. We're on the tail end of that. And believe me, I don't know. We may not have a Hitler, a Lenin, or a Stalin, or a Mao right now. We have other manifestations of those. And you know what? One of my, Patrick Alog had said to me, he once said, this is a great point. He says, we have a Planned Parenthood. Yeah, you're right. You may not have a leader that's putting people in concentration camps or burning them in ovens, right? You may not have them in gulags. But you've got Planned Parenthood. Think of how many lives are destroyed through that. We are living in a century marked with great confusion. The divorce rate's through the roof. People are leaving the church. I talk about the nuns all the time. I talk an hour about the ever-increasing evil. But never forget, and I want to leave you at this point here, as evil rises, grace abounds all the more. And we know how the story ends. In the end, God wins. Good triumphs over evil. It was told to us during that famous apparition in Fatima. You know, we know that. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. There's no doubting that at all. When we come back, I want to talk about St. Michael. I have to take a short pause here. When we come back, you know the story. Is it important that we pray this after every low mass? Is it important that you and I pray this on a daily basis? I do. I pray this prayer every day. In fact, I should be praying it multiple times the day. If I have time one day, I'll share with you the story of how St. Michael played an instrumental role in that very famous movie you've seen, The Exorcist. You know, it actually was not a woman that was possessed. It was a young boy. But Michael was there when that went down. I'm going to take a pause. Monsignor Pope will be joining me. We got a lot to talk about. If you want to get in, you can give me a quick call, 888-914-9149. We'll take a look at the great archangel, Michael, and his role today, both in the church and in the world.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, good to be with you here today. Monsignor Pope will be stopping by in a few minutes. But right now, let me share with you the story of the Archangel Michael and how he intervened in the case behind The Exorcist. I mean, this is a great story. You may never have heard this before. And I don't know. I love the way God works, don't you? God is infinitely more powerful than evil. You know, and we cannot, so often Hollywood, and even us individually, sometimes we give, you know, Satan way too much credit. We give him way too much power in our minds. There was a very famous movie, very popular, called The Exorcist. And the way the story goes, apparently the exorcism was finally won when a statue of the Archangel Michael was placed next to the bed of a possessed boy. In real life, his name was Rob, and pleas were made to the great archangel to take the case before the throne of God. And I'll tell you, you know, what happened. Well, while the movie, you know, in the movie, it really seems that it seems evil wins, right? You remember The Exorcist? If you've ever seen it, it seems like the devil's terrorizing the exorcist. But in real life, the priest, yeah, they were pretty, they were plenty all. They were, you know, they stuck it out. And with the intercession of St. Michael, the great nemesis of Satan, as I shared with you in Revelations 12:7, you know, this great battle in heaven in which, you know, a third of the angels fell like stars, Satan was thrown out. They freed the boy from this horrid grip of full-blown satanic possession. He was fully blown. And this was not a standard demonic infestation. It was the highest order of possession. And the way the story goes, apparently the boy had an aunt, right? And she was a spiritualist. And I want to warn anybody who has a Ouija board and you think it's innocent, turn up the radio. The aunt would come over and she'd play with this young boy. And she introduced him to the Ouija board, the game in which, you know, people, they try to communicate with the dead. And actually what you're doing is communicating with demons. And I know you could probably fill my phone lines right now with stories of people who played with the Ouija board and events that have happened. I could share a few stories myself. Not that I did it. Well, actually, I know a family member that did it. I know a college kid that did it. I had a sister that did it once. We were little kids, right? And for some reason, one of her friends or something brought a Ouija board over to the house. Here I'm going off track. I want to tell you about St. Michael, the exorcist. But they went to our basement, right? And gosh, my sister had to be first grade, second grade, third, fourth. I don't know. She was young. She was in grade school, little kid. And they didn't know what they were doing. But they put their hands on that planchette. They began to move it. They began to ask it to speak to them. And, oh, they got scared and they ran out. I don't know if anything ever happened. You know what happened afterwards, which I found really bizarre? And my parents, thank God, I told my sister about this. She had gone to confession and confessed it afterwards, years later. My sister, after having played with that Ouija board, she'd wake up in the middle of the night. And she would sleepwalk down to the basement. She'd wake up in the basement. Now, this is a little girl, not knowing why she was down there or how she got down there. And my mom and dad, they didn't make the connection. They had no idea at the time, you know, that she played with a Ouija board. I thought nothing of it until years later when I was an adult, right? I learned really about, it came into my spirituality a lot deeper. I said to her, look, you have to make sure you go back and confess that. Not that that persisted, went on for a little bit. She also claimed that she'd wake up and see a woman sitting on the end of her bed with a big wheel weaving. You know, I mean, scary, weird stuff, right? I think it had to deal with, you know, this Ouija board. But again, you know, I'm sure she had been to confession afterwards and the whole thing seemed to break. But that was a minor encounter. I've had others where, you know, friends in college, I shared with you a story of the friends who are communicating with the dead. I know you have your own stories. I'm not here to talk about the Ouija board. My point is stay away with it because, you know what, when you play with it, Satan is a legalist. These demons love this type of occult, these occult portals, and they'll talk to you. You want to invoke them, they're going to speak to you. And this boy's aunt, who is a spiritualist, came over and went ahead and did that. And he was the winter of 1949 in Washington, D.C., and I think they were College City. I think it's where they were. That was a suburb there. They heard strange noises after I had played with the Ouija board. The boy heard scratching on the wall, and it was joined a shaking of the wall behind a picture of Jesus. The wall began to shake there, right? And they're thinking, this is really weird. Why are we seeing all this? Soon, the boy's bed was shaking, and there were other strange furniture movements, eerie cold spots, and inexplicable tossing, you know, of objects around the room. After the first, you know, the boy's family took the matter to, after the first time this happened, the family thought, man, this is, it's not just a scratching anymore. I mean, we're seeing objects move, right? Mother would walk in the room, there's a cold spot. So the boy's family thought, okay, we're going to go to the local minister at St. Stephen's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Washington. And when the minister sensed that there's something real here, an actual diabolic presence, he said to the parents, he says, you need the Catholic Church. Don't you love that? I mean, that's some of my favorite. That's some of my favorite. You know, it's happened a lot of places. I hear about this all the time. I hear it all the time, you know. And my credit to many of these ministers who recognize there's something about the church, which has formal procedures for exorcism. So at first, the boy's family took the matter to to this minister. He says, look, I can't help you here. This is you need the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church thought, okay, well, we'll try to deliver the boy. So they take him to Georgetown University, where indeed the case seemed way too much for the very young priest that was on it. So they shifted the matter to St. Louis. where a priest named Father William Bowden from St. Francis Xavier Church headed a team that watched aghast, really, as bloody red marks began to materialize all over the boy's body. And this little kid, I mean, he's a kid, but the demon entered him because of the Ouija board, playing with his Ouija board. This is not the movie. This is real deal stuff. It was a young boy. All of a sudden, as they're doing these exorcism prayers, these red marks appear on his body. They spell out the words H-E-L-L. Hell. So they took a vial of holy water, and they were sitting on the bureau across the room. The boy's now, you know, he's writhing in this demonic frenzy, and his body is being tormented, and the word hell is erupting through his skin. And there was a vial of holy water that flew and hit a dresser all across the room, right? So after the initial attempts to do this, they realized, man, this is a serious, serious situation. One point, I remember they brought in relics, right? Relics. A crucifix with relics moved from under the boy's pillow to the foot of the bed, and a relic of St. Margaret Mary, you know, the great recipient of the mystic who saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It just vanished. Now, I'm not making this up. This is true. You can check this out. There was spitting. There was fiendish laughter. There was guttural voices that spoke with hate out of a little 13-year-old boy. I mean, it was otherworldly. And after weeks of trying to free him, and exorcisms aren't one and done like in the movies. You don't go in, you say a few prayers, and it's done. Sometimes these things take weeks. Sometimes they take months. Sometimes they take even longer than that. So after weeks of just attempting to free this 13-year-old boy, a priest decided to baptize the boy. And Rob was struggling madly to try to take control of the car. He was in the car with his priest, right, on the way to this baptism, tried to crash the car. Well, it was just a clear indication of how the sacraments, you know, the sacraments are so hated by the forces of evil. That's why Satan does not want you going to confession. He does not want you. Why? Because you're free from him there. The hooks that he has in you through your sin, through that attachment to sin, you are disengaged. You are restored to new life. You are healed. He's on his way to the sacraments, right? And they were going to baptize him, and I said, the kid tried to kill the priest and him. So finally, Rob was baptized. The next day, the priest tried to give him Holy Communion. The boy refused it, right? Spitting it out for 2 hours. Then a rosary was said. So this exorcism, it took 6 weeks to accomplish. The climax of it all, the pinnacle of it all, came at a hospital in St. Louis. Alexian Brothers Hospital. True story. It was on a Holy Thursday. There was a small statue of St. Michael was taken. It was placed on a bedstand right next to the boy. And the following Monday and Easter Sunday, as the priest prayed for the angel's intervention, they said, take this to the throne of God. Please, we need your help. As the prayer intensified with near desperation, the boy's voice suddenly changed. It changed from this deep, guttural, demonic voice into a very clear, commanding, dignified voice from heaven. And this is what was said. Something else possessed him. Something else entered. The voice said, Satan, I am Saint Michael. And this voice came now from the boy. And I command you, Satan, to leave the body of the boy, Dominus, the Lord, now, now. And as St. Michael gave that command, at that very precise moment, eyewitnesses throughout the hospital said they heard what sounded like a loud gunshot. It was heard throughout the hospital. Everybody there heard it. The boy sat up. He had a vision of St. Michael. He had a vision of the archangel. He saw him, and he announced with just absolute befuddlement, but with certain terrific relief, that entity that was in him was gone. It had left. At the same time, priests there at St. Francis Xavier Church, they saw a light. They saw a light illuminate the sanctuary from the dome high over the altar. And they believe that that light, in that light, some claim they saw a vision of St. Michael. Look, there are so many of these stories of St. Michael's role. And I started a little bit earlier talking about how it is said after the low mass in a lot of places. We at Relevant Radio pray the St. Michael prayer every day at the end of mass. And I know you, maybe your church does as well. There was some controversy over whether or not it was canceled in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and came out that that's not the case. And again, I don't know. I know the internet's on fire there, but I thought it would be important today for you and I just to talk about how important the role of St. Michael is. I want to pray the prayer with you right now, if I could. All right? I want to pray for protection for you and for your loved ones, for whatever demonic torment you're going through, whatever addiction seems to be in the family right now, for whatever division seems to be fomenting, whatever spirits seem to be causing demise. I'm going to invoke the great Archangel Michael for you and me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, I humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll tell you what, maybe Maggie will post that for you on our Twitter page. Please follow us at Drew Mariani Show. I appreciate that. You can follow me personally too, at Drew Mariani. Love to have you there and love to talk with you. And then, of course, on Facebook.com. You can follow us at the Drew Mariani Show. And follow and like us and tell others about us. I got to leave it there. We'll catch up with Monsignor Pope a little bit later. When we come back, we do a lot to get into today. I'll talk a little bit about Fatima. By the way, the Archangel Michael played a role there. We'll talk about that. But we're going to stay with you another hour. Bishop Sheen had a prophecy about what we're seeing today. I'll tell you about that, too. Hang on.